This is Living the RV Dream, episode 42, for Friday, January 26th, 2017.
I'm riding with my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Well, hello, happy campers, and welcome to another edition of the podcast. Today, I am coming to you live, or live on tape, actually. I'm recording this on a Wednesday from El Paso, Texas, and I'm staying at the KOA. It's actually called, and I'm trying to look it up here at the map. It is called the El Paso Anthony West KOA, and it is located about, I say, 20 minutes west of El Paso, Texas. And what am I doing here, you might ask? Well, first of all, if it is your first time here, my name is Robert Morales, and I travel towing a Winnebago Micro Mini 1706 FB, which is a short travel trailer, you know, 19 fitting length, a little over 3,000 pounds heavy, you know, the weight. And I tow with an SUV, with a Kia Sorento. And I'm doing this this leg of the trip solo, because I wanted to do this. I had this crazy idea of doing the Tampa RV Super Show and then catching the tail end of the Quartzsite RV show. So I've done this crazy travel from Florida to, and I'm now in Western Texas in 3.5 days. And I think I'm gonna slow down. I'm gonna start rethinking my plan, because obviously I didn't think this through all the way. As you know, when you put your itinerary on Google, it tells you an estimated time of arrival. But if you're traveling with an RV, it is at least half more. And I begin to find out that if you really want to see things along the way and stop every 2 or 3 hours, it takes twice as long. First of all, because you have to stop. You have to, and the problem with my RV, I only have like a 160 mile range towing with the Kia, you know, because I'm making like what, 10 miles per hour. So that's a problem. I have to stop about every 2 hours to fill up the tank. And then all these estimated times of arrivals on Google Maps, as you know, are based on the speed limit. And the speed limit in Texas is 80 miles per hour in some of these highways. And so if I'm going 65, you do the math. So I'm a little behind schedule at this point, but I still expect to make it to Quartzsite by the time you hear this, probably. So yeah, I'm really excited. It is a dream come true to make this trip to the West with my own travel trailer. It's been actually really cool, and I'm going to tell you all about it in a little bit. But first, I have a bunch of mail, you know, the mail section that I skipped last week. I have a bunch of feedback on the website, on YouTube, and on my inbox. So let's go to that. And I'm going to read here in no particular order. Mike Schaefer commented on the blog, "Hi Robert, I was wondering how the Truma water heater upgrade was working out. I have a Micro Mini with an Atwood tankless heater, and I have reached my limit with it." Well, yeah, I did reach my limit with it about, what, 6 months ago, when I decided to bite the bullet and take the plunge and buy a Truma AquaGo. And I wrote back to him that it is an expensive upgrade, but it truly works great. I mean, for some reason, if you go to the RV show like I did, most of the RV manufacturers are installing the Truma AquaGo now. And if it is not a Truma, it's an Aldi, which are both German brands. And the Truma AquaGo is theoretically a tankless unit. So in theory, you have endless supply of water, but it does have a small tank that they call the temperature stabilizer or something of that matter. And what it does, it maintains a steady temperature. With the old Truma, I mean, with the old Atwood on demand, what happened is the temperature fluctuated all the time, depending on the water pressure. If you closed it or... Well, you've heard my rants about it. If the water pressure wasn't strong enough, what it would do, it would totally shut down. So With the Truma Aqua Go, you get hot water at the temperature you want, with even with the trickle. So that is perfect. Okay, I have another message here from Farouk on the blog as well. I discovered your channel on YouTube just by accident and watched your road trip from Miami to Chicago with great fascination. Great scenery, driving through the lovely countryside. Really enjoyed every moment of it. By the way, are you in any way related to the Hollywood actor Antonio Banderas? Because your voice and manner of speaking are extremely similar. Well, I thank you. I take that as a compliment. We both come from Spanish-speaking countries, and that may be why I have this accent, and my manner of speaking is just mine. But yeah, Banderas is from Spain. I'm from Cuba originally, and I grew up speaking Spanish, and that's why I speak English with kind of a funny accent. Which, by the way, at the beginning, I mean, years ago, I was kind of, very conscious about it, but it seems to be an asset more than a handicap in what I do, and I love doing it so much. Jess Aunt, when are you coming to Hawaii? Oh, when they build the bridge from LA to Hawaii. No, just kidding. My plan, as some of you have heard probably in previous episodes, is to do the lower 48 before I turn 48, which is, it's a kind of like a stretch. That's why I'm doing in part this trip right now, because I'm running out of time. Definitely time is passing by, but I will visit Hawaii at some point. And it looks like a beautiful state, unique in its own way, of course. And then on the feedback form, Jacqueline Carr writes, "Hi, at the Sunset Grill, and Jeff, my boyfriend, is having a mojito as per your recommendation. We really enjoy your videos, and often we have your theme song in our heads. Thank you, and we hope you keep the videos coming." And that Sunset Grill, is it the one in Marathon, I'm assuming? Although my favorite mojito in Key West, of course, is at the El Mesón de Pepe. Although the last time they were kind of cranky, but it was right after the hurricane, so they get a pass. Darren Creswell, "Hope you're having a great time at the RV show in Tampa. Just out of curiosity, what's the gas mileage for that $1 million diesel pusher you showed in your video, and how much it would cost to fill up the tank?" I have no idea. I can tell you, my mileage varies towing, but my best mileage on the way here from Florida has been like 10.6. My worst, well, it was having a headwind, and it was like 7.5 miles per gallon. Yeah, it was horrible. I think that was when I was driving through. There's a stretch of road that is really bad. It's just west of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and right before you get to Lafayette, and the road is it's a really rough road. It rivals at some of the roads in Indiana where I lost one of my valances. Anyways, let me tell you about this crazy trip that I've done. Of course, I did the Florida RV Super Show, and I enjoyed it as always, but I was a little disappointed this year because two of the units that we've been lost in over, which are the Winnebago Trend and the Winnebago Via. And this is, of course, not a Winnebago commercial, but I own a Winnebago. And, those are some of the ones that have the characteristics, on the checklist of things that we want. And, like the Winnebago Trend, it has a corner bed, which we like. I know a lot of people are nowadays, all the rage is the Murphy beds or the twin beds, but we like the corner bed. We don't mind climbing over each other, to go to the bathroom. So we don't mind. So we like the corner beds units, and being a corner bed, it gives you a lot of space, and it gives you two areas. One of you can be sleeping while the other person can be working. Now, another question mark, another concern that we have is a lot of these RVs, the tables are very small. They're meant for very few RVs are meant for working people. And we do need a desk where we can have two computers semi-permanently, one of them with two monitors. So I don't know. Have you, if you have guys have seen a small unit that meets those requirements? Please let us know. But very disappointed that the Winnebago train and the Winnebago Via, the one with the cornbread, were not there. But we did find a. It's by Pleasure Way. It's the Plateau XLT. It's a wide body unit that has the bed in the back. You know, like a sofa bed, but you can kind of leave it permanently there, and you can sleep across, which is it saves space. And then it has like two chairs facing each other where we could adapt, and this is what I'm thinking, some kind of table there in the middle where we could put both computers and figure out a way to get it out of the way so we could, you know, walk to the bed or something. I don't know. It's still a work in progress, but eventually I'm sure I will find the unit, the perfect unit for me. Of course, we saw a lot of fifth wheels, and particularly there's this brand that I keep calling Star Trek for some reason, but it's not Star Trek. It's the spacecraft, and they're terribly expensive, of course, but they build it from scratch according to your specifications. You know, if you want a residential fridge, they put a residential fridge. If you want an absorption fridge, I should learn how to pronounce, they will put it for you too. Or if you want the bedroom in the front or the back, you know, fifth wheels are very versatile in that sense. And they are very residential. It's like an apartment. I also saw many, of course, diesel pushers, and those are like the top of the line. You know, $1 million units. And at some point, no, maybe not the $1 million units, but at some point, if I decide to change our traveling lifestyle, maybe a diesel pusher would be in the wish list for us. But for now, B+ is what I want. Well, let me tell you about my trip, because I had a trip at the RV show, and I also met other YouTubers and a lot of fans. I lost count, and of course I'm never gonna remember everybody's name, but I took a bunch of pictures with a lot of viewers and listeners of the podcast and patrons. So I you have no idea how much I appreciate you guys, and it was great to meet many of you. But anyways, this crazy trip that I'm embarking on, and the main idea is I want to keep producing videos, you know, because if I don't have content on my YouTube channel, eventually the channel dies. Well, of course. Before the RV show, well, we stayed one night at once again at Lake Louisa State Park, just west of Orlando, and we went to Disney Springs and had a little bit of a good time. And you're gonna watch that video this Sunday on my YouTube channel. And then we drove up to Crystal River because we had always heard about the manatees, that they come in the winter, and we were lucky enough that there was a cold snap just that day. So we went to and it was lucky enough also that they were having the Manatee Festival that weekend. We didn't plan ahead for that, but that was a very nice coincidence. So they had the festival was $5, and they had a free shuttle going to the Three Sisters Spring. And this spring, it was full of manatees. You could see them coming in one by one from the ocean into the spring, and it was fantastic. We had a great time. We also went to the Homosassa Springs Wildlife State Park, and I mean, it is almost like a zoo, but they don't call it a zoo because these are animals that have been rescued or something like that. It was very nice, and we also saw some manatees there, although over there the water wasn't as clear, so you could only see them when they were coming up, you know, for air to the surface. And then we did the classic thing of, you know, the 1950s Florida. We went to Wikiwachi Springs and saw one of the mermaid shows. And the park was a lot of fun. And I really wanted to see a show that they do that is called Fish Tales, in which they drink or eat underwater. But for this particular week, they didn't have that show. They were having something called the Legendary Mermaids, which are mermaids from years past that they come back and do a show. And we ended up watching their recreation of the Little Mermaid, and it's the Little Mermaid. We've seen the story so many times, but it was very refreshing. We also took the boat tour. It was kind of chilly, but we took the boat tour. We saw some wildlife, some anhingas. There was a lone manatee on the Wiquiwachi River. Very cool. And finally, the day after, we moved, of course, and actually, before that, let me tell you about Crystal Isles RV Resort, which is an Anchor property, and it's your typical large Florida RV resort with a lot of snowbirds and a lot of annual sites, you know, permanent people. And they gave us the most horrible site. It was a triangular site, lakefront, but what I had of lakefront really in my property was like maybe 2 feet, really. And we were under a tree. And there was the birds. I got bird poop all over my trailer. I had to go straight to a car wash, or one of these, you know, oversized car wash, do-it-yourself places, and wash it. Well, it's quick and clean now, or it was. Anyways, from there, we went to Fort DeSoto. And what a great place. Fort DeSoto is a county park. And it's one of these coveted places in Florida that is very, very hard to get in. But we were able to stay one night, and we can't wait to go back again. By the way, over there, we also met with some viewers, some folks from Quebec, Canada, and then some other folks that I met up with at the RV show. From there, of course, we went to the RV show, and then what I did, I started this leg of the trip solo, and my main idea was to make it to Quartzsite as fast as possible. And of course, I had this itinerary that didn't quite work out. And for the first couple of days, I was trying to catch up. You know, I'm 2 hours ahead of. I mean, I was saying to myself, okay, I'm 2 hours behind my original schedule. Then the next day, I was, I'm 4 hours behind my original schedule. And then I tried to catch up on the third day, and I said, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to take one extra day, and I might even change the plan once again. But the first night I slept at, it is a rest area, and I stopped there because I was tired. It was already nighttime, and I kind of like to drive at nighttime sometimes when it is an area where I have driven before, and I find it soothing. But when it is uncharted territory, I don't like it so much. But well, this is a rest area that is right before the time zone change. You know, when you change from Eastern time to Central time, and it is just west of Tallahassee. Well, not just west; it's somewhere in between Tallahassee and Pensacola. And I didn't see any signs saying no overnight parking, so I said, you know what, I'm gonna stay here. I saw two other RVs, both of them with their slides out, and a bunch of truckers, and I slept all right. You know, it was my first night boondocking at a place like that, so but it was good. It was pretty cool. The next day I left, and I was already kind of behind schedule, but I pushed west, and I have one of these sticker maps where I put stickers of all the states where I've been at, but I have this rule that unless I slip or do something significant in that state, I don't put the sticker. So I had this big gaping hole where Alabama was supposed to be, and I had heard about this, it's kind of a funky truck stop called the Oasis, and they have this restaurant called the Derailed Cafe or something like that, and it's like a train-themed motif inside. So I said, you know what, I'm going to have lunch at this place and put my Alabama sticker, because that's something kind of significant to do in the state. So that's what I did, and eventually I'm going to go back to Alabama and do a lot more. But especially the north, I can't wait to check out the mountains, you know. If there are anything like the Tennessee Mountains and the North Georgia Mountains, I know I'm going to love it. And from there, I push west, you know, through Mississippi, Louisiana. I bypassed New Orleans. But I did stop by the state capital in Baton Rouge. I found a parking spot right there downtown, you know, to 2 meters, and I used the 2 meters, and it was free because it was on a weekend. So downtown was kind of deserted, but I parked right there, right in front of the Capitol building. So I walked around and took some video. It was nice. Then I hopped again in the car, towing the trailer, and explored by car a little bit of the rest of the city. And let me tell you, I want to go back to Baton Rouge and really, really explore it more. It looks like a pretty cool town, to be honest. There's this castle-like building that I think it's like the original state capital. Very cool looking, and all this area right next to the Mississippi River. I can't wait to see that again. And then I continued west, and I slept at a Walmart just east of Lafayette. There's this area that the name escapes me right now, but I have Google, so let me pause the recording and I'll tell you where it is. Well, it is called the Atchafalaya Wildlife Management, what is it called? National Wildlife Refuge. And it is like a bridge that goes over this marsh area. And right after that is when the highway became horrible. And it was a night. It's a miracle I survived. I stayed at, it's called Bew Bridge, the town where I stayed at the Walmart. And then, of course, in the morning, a big thunderstorm. You know, I was planning on leaving at the crack of dawn and, you know, make up for all the lost time and forget about it. It was raining, so I decided to wait until the worst of the storm passed. And then I left under the rain, you know. And by the time, you know, I reached Lake Charles, it was already a sunny, beautiful day. And then I crossed into Texas. I was so emotional for the first time in the state of Texas, because I had been to Louisiana before. I had been to all these other states, Alabama, Mississippi, but Texas, it was the first time. And it was a big, huge Lone Star at the rest area. Yeah, that was very nice. Of course, I'm still in Texas, and this was I'm being losing track of time. This was what, Monday? So yeah, it's taking a long time to go across Texas through its widest point, but it's been a lot of fun. The first day, I went through Houston. And then I arrived at San Antonio almost at sunset, and then I got stuck in rush hour traffic. So I drove nonstop, by the way, all day. I didn't really see anything because I planned to see San Antonio and, of course, Austin and Houston on the way back to Florida. I planned, you know, since I have no rush on the way back, and I'm going to stop and smell the roses. I stayed at the... by the way, Texas rest areas are not very large. They're not like Florida's or even... where was it that they even had a... Was it? I think it was Alabama. They had dump station and everything. In Louisiana, there were no rest areas to be found. So in Texas, they're kind of small. And if you don't get there early, they get full with truckers. So I stopped by the first rest area. And by the way, there are three types. There are rest areas. Some of them are called picnic areas, and some of them are called parking areas. And each have different amenities or less amenities or what have you. But the first one is full of trucks. So then I said, well, the next thing, I'm also already exhausted, by the way, driving all day through half of Louisiana and Texas. I was just west of San Antonio, which I can't wait to visit, by the way. I went to the pilot truck stop. And I said truck stop, and I said, "Well, I'll stay at the pilot among all the idling diesel engines." But the pilot was also packed. There was like a line of trucks going in. So I'm like, "What do I do now?" I said, "Well, I'll continue. I'll immolate myself and go to my original plan, which was Junction, Texas, where there is a park where you can boondock for free." Although I wasn't thrilled about arriving at night. And then I found another rest area. And this one had only like one truck and one Class B, I think. It was in the mountains, and it was going to be a cold night. But I said, you know what, I'm going to stay here. And I slept very well throughout the night. From there, I continued west, and I had heard about this place called Marfa, where there's this viewing area where you can stop and have this phenomenon called the Marfa lights. So I said, you know what, let's, and this was a shorter drive, you know, it wasn't as much. I said, you know, let's continue and let's see what these Marfa lights are all about. And another boondocking spot. I did a quick dump at one of the rest areas and then continued west. And this was the most interesting part of the trip because all of it, you know, it's very gradual. And, you know, you start seeing less trees and smaller trees. And before you know it, you are in the desert. And by the time I arrived at the town of, where was it? It was, I actually pulled off I-10 and went down to the town of Alpine. And Alpine is it's very pretty because I guess they call it Alpine because it is among all these mountains. And eventually I want to see it again. But I stopped at the Marfa viewing lights and there's a viewing lights at the it's a parking lot. It's the viewing area, the Marfa lights viewing area. And they have at the parking lot, they let you boondock for the night. You know, for free, so you can see the lights. And there was one of these expedition vehicles. There was an old car camper van. There was a brand new Class B a Sprinter. They left early, and then right before sunset, an old couple arrived, and they had a vintage Airstream from 1953. I think they told me. Very talkative guy. And of course I left my camera doing a time lapse all night because it was a very cold night. I was even afraid that my tanks were gonna freeze. It was it went down to 20 degrees for like a good 5 or 6 hours, but the camera didn't see any lights. And of course I didn't stand outside waiting to see any lights because it was freezing cold. But it was a nice day. I was a little nervous, of course, that my tanks were gonna freeze, and I did deplete my battery a little more than I would have liked with the furnace, because I did buy one of these body heating units. It's called my body heater or something like that. But I was afraid to leave it on all night because it's one of these radiant, you know, ceramic, I don't know exactly how it works, but it is propane and you're supposed to crack a window open when it's on. But I decided to run the furnace and yeah, I depleted my battery. Anyways, it's a rookie mistake. And from there, I passed by the town of Marfa, of course, and Valentine, which is by Valentine. There is this very quirky, you know, roadside attraction. It's called the Marfa Prada, and I called it the Prada in the middle of nada, because it is like a Prada store there in the middle of nowhere. It's like one mile northeast of Valentine. You will find it on the left side of the road, and it is supposed to be like a work of art. Somebody thought it would be cool to make it a work of art. Then of course at Van Horn. And there's a bunch of RV parks, by the way, all over this area. I rejoined I-10, and the rest is history. Here I am at El Paso, Texas. And from here, I was going to... Well, I'll tell you all about my future plans, but I'm going to tell you all about that in the next episode, because we're running a little long here, and I'm telling you all this story. So the destination of the week, of course, was this trip, telling you all about this trip and my experiences. And now, from here, I'm going to Quartzsite. And I don't know, the guy in the vintage Airstream, he wasn't very thrilled about Quartzsite. He said like something about like the scum of the earth. It's what gathers there. But of course, I know that that's not true. I know there's all kinds of people there. And I know I'm going to be a little late. Like the RTR, the Rubber Tramp Rendezvous, is already over. And the RV show is almost over. But I just want to see it with my own eyes. You know, This year I wasn't really all that interested in the RTR. Maybe next year I'll go just to experience it as well. Anyways, this week we're not gonna have any news or tips of the week, because to be honest about it, I haven't had time to prepare anything, because I have been driving most of the day, and the rest of the time I've been either cooking or editing videos or sleeping. So as a conclusion, I want you all to know how much I appreciate you listening, choosing my podcast. I know that your time is precious, and there's a lot of stuff that you can listen to. So the fact that you're listening to me, I really appreciate it. If you really, really like it, remember I have a Patreon account, and you can support the work that I do at patreon.com/travelingrobert. And then you can join the growing number of insiders. You know, you get little perks, like sometimes I put videos ahead of schedule, or you get early access to some of my music that I compose, and then, you know, things like that. And I do a Patreon only hangout once a month, so we can talk, you know, and things like that. And of course, if you contribute more than $20 a month, or 20 or more, you get credits on my YouTube videos, you know, as an executive producer of the show. And that's all I'm going to promote today. Thank you so much for listening. And hope to see you on the road. If you're going to be anywhere around my path, let me know if you'd like to meet up. I would love to shake your hand. Until next time, thank you so much for listening. And see you on the road. Living the RV dream. Loving the RV lifestyle. Free in my RV.